From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour as we enter our 21st year on the air. 21 years that you're old enough to vote and drink. I guess you only have to be 18 to vote, but appreciate everyone who has helped us along the way, and Bishop Wiegand for his great idea to start a Bishop's Hour, and Bishop Soto, who has been so supportive, and then all of the underwriters and all the people who have been guests and all the people who have listened and helped in a million different ways. It's been very, very, it's been a wonderful ride, and we're ready to ride 20 more. So anyway, thanks to everybody. Well, Jane Lee, God's Heart and Hands Ministry.
Good morning.
Jane,
it's good to be here for part of the 21 years.
Yes.
For today.
Yes.
That's what matters. Doing the Lord's will day by day. Isn't that amazing? You do it day by day.
Day by day.
21 years.
Yeah.
Went by.
It's hard to imagine. You know, it's like if somebody said to me, said, well, 20 years from now, I'll give you $1 million or something. You go, forget it.
Right.
20 years from now, that's not going to do me any good. But 20 years have passed.
It does.
Yeah.
It does, moment by moment.
Yeah. I think it's mind-boggling.
Yeah. When did our kids grow up? When did they get,
well, how did
know?
That happen?
I don't know.
My wife was showing me pictures yesterday. We have a big tree in the front yard, and the tradition is on the first day of school, you take a picture. Well, with our oldest, Maeve, the first day of school when she was in kindergarten, it was just a picture of her.
Oh.
Because she was the only one
in school.
In school.
Yeah.
But we decided we'd take the picture of just her, and then the next year be her and her sister, and the next year her
right.
and her other sister, and on and on and on.
Uh-huh.
And our son. But that same time when Maeve was going to start, I think it was just preschool. So she was three, and Molly was two, and Emmy was one,
mm-hmm.
and Mick was just a little guy.
Wow.
And she got all four of them on this tree. Mick was sitting because he wasn't old enough to stand. Every one of them at the same time smiling, you know, just smiling and looking at the cat, you know.
That's a miracle.
Those impossible, that was a miracle.
I think you're the only parent that's ever gotten all that to work.
And, you know, it's one of those, it's not bittersweet. It's that, oh, I looked at it and I instantly wanted to go back to that. They were just all so darling, you know.
Yes.
They're now all four teenagers, and they are all darling still.
Right.
And but you want to go, and I remember many times saying, and my wife saying the same thing, can't we just freeze this right now? Can't we just stop it right now? We just, from now on, this
right.
is how old they are. And they never get older. And they never just, and then you go, and then somebody hits a home run at a Little League game. And you go, oh, if we had frozen it back when he was three, you know.
That's true.
Or they make it their first Holy Communion, you know. And you go, oh,
yeah.
If we'd frozen it back when they were five, we wouldn't have had, you know, all these moments.
Mm-hmm.
And the day that Maeve, a few months ago, learned that she had gotten into the college where she wanted to go to college, just we're all waiting, and she's online, and she's goes, I got in!
Oh.
And you go, oh, we would have missed that moment if we'd froze it when she was 3 months old. You know,
right.
God has his ways, and God has his times, and every month, you know, you as you get older, you go, oh, wow, what if I was 20 years younger, or what, you know.
It's right.
Like, and I go, you know, I was born on the exact day God wanted me to be born.
Right.
And if it's okay with God, it's okay with me. You know?
That's faith.
It must be.
That's right.
Because you do. People have that lament. Oh, man, I should have been doing this with my life, or I should have been doing that. How do I get so old? On and on and on. And you go, no, this was God's plan. that I would be born on this day and every other person in the world. That was God's plan. So accept whatever age you are, whether you think you're too young, you think you're too old, you think you're whatever, or you'd like to be older, or you'd like to. I remember when we were kids, we wanted to be older.
Right.
You
know,
it's the age you're supposed to be right now. And if you're still alive and breathing, you're supposed to be doing something.
Right.
Your mission has not been completed.
There's so much wisdom in everything you just said. There's so many jewels for parenting, staying in the moment, grasping the moment, seeing the moment, seeing the bigger picture, seeing the wisdom, and trusting God in all of it, and that it does go by. And what's that scripture about? To everything there is a season. And there's a season for them to be 3, and there's a season for them to be 13. There's a season for them to go to college, which sounds obvious in a way. And I can just hear people saying, yeah. But no. In our times where we're speeding up and we've got filters on our phones to change how we look, so to speak. So I want to look different, what angle, and so on. We are adjusting how we perceive the moment. Or we're not perceiving the moment, we're rushing along.
Yeah.
And all of those jewels, and you really, I love all the wisdom you speak for other parents, those young parents that are listening right now, or the parents of an ill child, or just going through some difficulty of parenting, and there can be many of them in many different ways that we see it and things we don't. But we know that there's families going through something. But to stay in the moment and to trust God. And that's the important part of the work of God's Heart and Hands ministry, is reminding us that motherhood has a place in society because it's being reformatted. It's being given a different self, that you need to be doing other things. You should. No, let's start with God in the center, and that at this time he wants us to have this child or children and to raise this family. It took us over 5 years. And with multiple surgeries and everything else, to have our son. And I'll never forget what someone said to me, what may seem like an eternity right now, because it did, when they're 20 years from now, that's where that child is supposed to be. And it made perfect sense. And it's like, oh, there is a bigger plan. So it just settled things down, that I wasn't so much thinking about, oh, I want to have a child. It was switched it to, when is this child supposed to be born? Mm-hmm. So it helped me have patience and going through those challenges and those trials. And I would offer them too for someone as a mom that's considering, why is this child coming now? You know, we talk so much about pro-life, that there is a bigger plan. And we can only wonder what we're going through economically as a country for the, what we now know are 60 million, but truly are probably more like 90 million when there's a generational effect now. Yeah. Because those in the 80s would have had children, and the 70s and the 90s and so on. And the generations that we've lost, not just the people.
Right.
So everything you're saying, there's just so much wisdom in that. And we have to take that. Moving into Advent, which is the busiest 2 months of the year, even though it's about 3 weeks long.
Are we talking about Advent already?
We are coming. Well, only because since Labor Day, it's been in the stores. I know, but it's been in the stores since Labor Day.
Yeah.
You know?
My kids pointed that out to me the other day, that there was Christmas decoration somewhere. Costco or somewhere, they were selling Christmas trees.
And yeah, the stores have now, when they brought out Halloween, they also brought out Thanksgiving and Christmas. One fell swoop, just all at one time. So I'm in there still looking for the manger. That's one of the things I do every year. And I can usually find a couple.
I'm waiting for you, you know, you go to buy something. It's like November, and you're buying something that's Christmassy. And they say, no, that's for the next Christmas. You can't buy that yet. We're just displaying it.
Wait, I think Amazon's doing that, aren't they? They're just displaying it. Right. Well, yeah, they probably will. It's in our production now. Line up now.
Boy, Amazon is like, oh my gosh. You look out the window, and we just have this small little street just in an older neighborhood, and there are Amazon trucks. Ever those kind of gray vans,
right? On Sundays now,
looks like it has the Nike swoosh
right.
on it.
Right.
They're everywhere. Yeah, and it's like 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Just somebody's delivering something. The consumerism is, and the instantaneous. You know, you think about the old Sears catalog,
right?
Or when you're watching Little House on the Prairie or something, and they're waiting for something to arrive, a pair of shoes from New York, you know, and they had to order it, you know, by Pony Express, you know, it's just, and now it's like, I want it. I want it now. And that's that is or the Amazon model or whatever it is.
Right.
The notion that you now. Now, the Postal Service, you'll see them delivering stuff on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, special delivery, express mail. And you go, the consumerism has been. It's like if you had to say, okay, I'm going to order this online. It's going to take 2 weeks to get here.
Mm-hmm.
Almost nobody would order it. I'll go to the store. I'll go to the store and buy it.
But we would wait 2 weeks before.
Yeah, but not now. Now. I'm going to order it from Amazon because I might get it tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and I have the special account or whatever it is.
Right.
Prime. Yeah. And,
right.
You know, it's like this need for instant gratification is just overwhelming.
Yes, yes. And I that's something going into this Advent season, I think we really, mothers especially, because we are the social directors of the family and the carrier of traditions and so on, is we have to be aware of that. And we have to, there's a commercial, an Amazon commercial. Well, they're at the family play. They're at a play, the children's play. And something happened to the little boy's sweater as he's up on the stage. I don't even remember what it was. But I was caught by the fact that the grimace on the parents' face, they look at each other. She's on her phone. They get home from the play. It's delivered. Okay. Because as God's Heart and Hands ministry, I see it through the lens of motherhood. I just saw a ton of mothering guilt that showed up in a new way, that I am so responsible for you frowning that I'm going to do something on my phone clandestinely and it'll arrive by the time we get home.
When my bicycle got stolen.
Oh.
You know what the end result of that was?
No.
My bicycle was stolen.
Oh.
I didn't have a bicycle.
Oh.
That was the end result.
Wow.
Nobody ran out and bought me another one.
Wow.
There was no way.
Once
in a while I could borrow my brother's bike if he wasn't using it.
Mm-hmm.
But that was it until I could mow enough lawns or pick enough walnuts or whatever it was to buy another bicycle.
And so what would you say? How'd that carry forward in your life?
Well, I think that bad stuff happens.
Okay.
And mom and dad can't always fix it. And, you know, they could have probably started serving us beans every night and bought me a new bicycle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't. And it wasn't like, oh, well, let's let Bobby have his bicycle stolen and it'll be a good lesson. It wasn't.
No.
They weren't happy about it.
No,
But
and they ached for you. I'm sure.
Yeah, but it was, you know,
sad for you.
You don't have bad. You're gonna walk to school. You're gonna walk to little league practice.
Right.
That's just the way it is. You know. I mean, holy cow, what an abusive childhood I had.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But it's just the way. I mean, you want instant gratification? Go to daily mass.
Oh, I love that. So well said. Jesus shows up.
Yeah.
Wow, the biggest rock star
instant
there is.
Instant gratification. He's driving the Amazon Prime truck, right?
Jesus and Amazon Prime. I like that.
He's getting out of it with his robes and his flowing hair and going right into the church.
Wow, I love that.
Every day.
Every day with many a special
parishes,
delivery.
Many parishes, there's more than one daily mass.
Right, and we know from going to daily mass, you might not have a fabulous day. It doesn't guarantee it's going to, but it will be different.
Yeah.
Going through challenges, feeling like I was pulled through the old proverbial keyhole at times in the past couple of years, I noticed that the days were different that I went to Mass. It was just because I threw myself up there, Lord, I'm here. I don't know how I'm going to get through this day, whatever, but you're here and I am showing up because you're here.
Yeah.
And it was, and I just noticed in hindsight that the days were different, and were things easier? I don't know, because we don't know when something is averted. You know, when that fire doesn't happen, when you know something doesn't break, doesn't fall off. We don't know. But I know that the days were different when I look back in hindsight. And now moving forward, I won't go without it, especially facing something big. Even I love to go before I come on here with you. And if, because of the timing, I can't make it to Mass, I will make sure I find the priest and get a blessing to have, okay, and put myself in front of the Lord and say, I'm here, I'm doing your work. You can't speak my microphone, so work through me. And so that's it. What we have to do as mothers is recognize that we have a peace. We are, if nothing else, we help our families filter that. Okay, your bike got stolen. what are we going to do? What are you going to do? Can I, you know, maybe can I help you run a lemonade stand? Or can I help you brainstorm ideas, come up with ideas? Can I do that? Because I'm not going to service beans so that you can have a new bike. This is part of life, and I'm really sorry. I'm going to walk alongside you to go through this. Isn't that what we want to do as adults, as we walk along? In fact, there's a scripture, Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Walk alongside, be with them. Be with each other. Help our children. And one of the biggest things mothers are going to face for their families is that instant gratification that we're talking about, and credit, and feeling like you have to keep up with the Joneses this year and the new toy and all of that. There's a new thing out called, is it Afterpay? Oh my gosh. It's where basically they don't look at your credit and you've got four payments and the stores sign up. You can instantly buy it on credit.
Wow.
And it's four payments, one every 2 weeks, and you get it set up ahead of time, and like Target is doing it.
Is it the old layaway plan?
No, because I walk out with the product.
Oh, you get the product.
You get the product.
See, it's interesting. I think Walmart maybe still has a layaway, but most stores don't. Uh-huh. But I remember as a kid, that was how things in normal middle-class families, and I don't want to say we weren't poor, but we didn't have anything extra. If the kids wanted to do anything, we earned our own money, and I don't mean we earned it around the house. Mom, if I vacuum, will you give me $1? It was, you had to be out doing a real job somewhere, and which was much more available even then to an 8 or a 9 year old. You could get a paper route. You could mow the neighbor's lawn.
You still can mow the lawn. You still can help.
But so many people now hire like a professional service, and they come every Monday.
We do love when we see the young kid doing it. We're like, okay, I'll have you do it. This will be great. Yeah. We want to foster that.
But the message is always good that, you know, you kind of earned your whatever mm-hmm. You have, and that it wasn't just given to you, but this instant gratification is so prevalent now.
It is, and we have to, mothers especially, because we're the ones in the carpools, in the car line, on the front lines, and society is telling us, no, let someone else do it. Someone's going to influence those children. Someone's going to, and whether it's you or your husband, you know, it doesn't matter, but they're getting applauded when they take the afternoon off to go watch the Little League game. Mothers are like, well, you're not handling all the responsibilities. We're not sure you're so committed to your job. I am committed to my job, but my first job is what God has given me, and my income job is second. And job as a mother, I influence the future. I influence the relationships, you know, your neighbor, your significant other, your boss, your priest, your fill in the blank, your teacher, all had mothers.
Yeah.
And there's no bigger political action committee in this world than that. And God needs mothers. That's where he put that. And God needs everybody. It takes a village to raise a child. But mothers have their role is being shifted by society, or diluted, fragmented, and everything else. And so moving into this Advent, I think Christmas is expensive, but Advent is priceless.
Mm.
And where is your emphasis? Start with God. Start with that. And he doesn't take any money. To have a rich Christmas season doesn't take any money. It's when we put it first to him, okay, kids, we're going to talk about it. Are we going to get you the toy that you want, the new game that's out? Or, article came out yesterday in LA Times, that 200,000 people are out of their homes. Kincaid fire creates 200,000 evacuees. Who's going to take them in? Different piece than we ever saw before. They're opening up the shelters and community colleges, community centers, churches, and fairgrounds, but they fill up fast. Is there any place that can set up?
Yeah, we don't have instant shelters for 200,000 people. You know, the county fairgrounds, you usually hear about that. And you they're serving sandwiches, and it's warm or it's cold or it's whatever it needs to be. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes you have, in the summer, you'll see during a heat wave, a cooling center, because mm-hmm. for people that don't have air conditioning, you know, and maybe don't have the money to go sit in the movie theater or a restaurant or et cetera, and they have cooling centers. But to have this many people evacuated, and it changes every day. We lost power where we were just be not because of the intentional shutoff, but because trees were crashing all over town into power lines.
Oh boy!
And so there were a number of spots around town. Sometimes it's like a block. Sometimes it's like half the town. You know,
right.
Depending on what's been knocked out, and they actually got it repaired pretty quickly. But then you've got you read about these places where it's intentionally just shut off,
right.
As a preventative measure, and we can. The politics of it and all that is something else. But you're sitting there with no power, and they're saying it's probably going to be 3 or 4 days. And you go, wow, you know, you can't be on your devices. You can't. Many of us can't work.
Right.
You know, it's like we're so dependent on electronics.
Right.
That how do I work? How do I prepare for the show if I can't print stuff? If I can't look stuff up online, like I every day I go to Catholic News Service, which is an arm of the USCCB,
yes.
And I see what are the stories of the day. I'll go to various Catholic sites. I'll go to the Vatican website,
right.
See what the here's the Pope's travel plans. He's going to Japan, you know, and maybe print a story off of that, or at least read it. You know, can't do any of that,
right?
And that's just me. And then you look at all these other people, especially people who telecommute, you know, people who work from home,
yes.
Where their connection to the world is critical to their job, and you just can't do anything.
Right, and all the restaurants that lost food.
I write a daily newspaper column.
Uh-huh.
Well, you don't write it anymore. You don't take out a pen and a paper.
True.
You don't even have a manual typewriter to deliver a hard copy. It's all electronic. You write it electronically. You hit send, and it goes to the newspaper, and then electronically they put it into print, and everything's shut down. Not only can't I send it, they can't receive it.
And now that we're doing it, that there are predicted, you know, not predicted, but we know when an outage is coming up, we parents now have to think ahead. Okay, chances are it's going to happen again. It first one caught us off guard. A lot of people lost food. And I think, what about the economic effects of restaurants that lost food as well? There's
lost
a ripple
food
effect.
And lost business.
Right.
Both.
They couldn't open up.
They don't get it back. They don't get the business back.
Right. No one's is going to read.
The really weird thing is kids loved it. They loved it. I remember 7, 8, 10 years ago when the power got knocked out by a storm.
Mm-hmm.
Big rain stoves, and one of those middle of the winter storms, one of those semi hurricanes that came through, that rare, but it knocked the power out for about 3 days. And oh, they loved it. We built a fire in the fireplace. They slept in their sleeping bags on the floor. They just, and then, you know, when there's another storm coming, I said, is this power going to go off? You know, it was
interesting.
Like, yeah. And even Sunday was when our power went off. I had a lot of work to do, and I called my sister in Vacaville. I said, oh, no, we've got power. And so the kids are, let's go to Aunt Mary's. You know, off we go. They're teenagers, but this is great.
Right.
You know, they packed up like, maybe we're going to spend a few nights there. And then, you know, about
it's an adventure.
5 in the afternoon, the word comes that power's back on at home. And you could just see their faces drop. Like, so they loved it.
It was an adventure,
yeah,
right?
It was an adventure.
Right, something different than having a screen that's, look at me, come do this, come do this. And so parents moving into Advent, parallel to this, we have to take care of our needs. We have to look ahead. What are we going to do in case this happens again? And it happens with a little bit of notice, but in your case, you didn't have any notice. So moving into the Christmas season, we have to think of that. It's not going to be, okay, how are we going to work this out financially? Who's in need? How are we going to navigate? No, a very basic need, the lowest need, is shelter and safety. We have to look at that, and we have to prepare for that. So, and not only that, we can't ignore the fact that so many people, just the fires alone, are in need right now.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do? And I'm wondering, is Amazon using their drones to bypass these 200,000 people that are on the roads to bring food to those centers?
Yeah.
Wow, that'd be a great thing for these corporations to do. Are the gas stations offering? Just come in. If you need gas in your car, you get it, because you're going to have to drive from shelter to shelter to shelter. And if your power's down, gosh, The ATMs are down.
Yep.
The banks are down.
Everything's down.
Everything's down. So are the corporations stepping into it, stepping up? Maybe, maybe not. We haven't heard anything, but it's on the parents to do it. So moving into this season, it's an opportunity for us to really shift what society has brought in that's saying, oh, you need to do all these things. You need to have the latest game. You need to have the latest clothes. Wow, that just all left because it can't get to us on a screen. But it's also a time for us to reevaluate it as a family. And look what your kids loved it. We're going to be okay. We need to remember that. It's a shift. Nobody likes change, especially one that comes suddenly. But as parents, we get to, okay, let's put God back in the center. How are we going to handle this? What did you do? You reached out in the community, family, and you took care of it. That's what we do. Too many thoughts going on in my head. But especially with the fires being in California right now, we only probably have to go one person that knows someone that is being evacuated.
Yeah.
Okay, and what can we do? I know people who've been out of power for days, and our particular area is not, but I offer them, you know, showers, a place to plug in their phone, and so on. Anything I can do to help.
Yeah, I remember being in Target a couple of years ago, right after the Santa Rosa fires, and it was with one of my daughters, and she was trying something on, so I'm waiting by the dressing room, and here came a somebody who was a parishioner, a fellow parishioner, not anybody that I knew very well, but nobody, you know, it's one of those faces you go, oh, this is somebody I should know. Hi, how are you doing? Call them, how are you doing? Because I can't remember their name.
Right.
You know, how are you doing? Oh, what are you doing here? Oh, my daughter's in there, you know, buying some clothes. And I said, oh, and I'm thinking, daughter. And out comes her daughter, who's like 35 years old, you know, and I'm going, oh. And I said, oh, are you just, do you live in town? Well, no, we lived in Santa Rosa and our house burned down.
Oh.
So we moved back in with mom and dad. You know, it was like, whoa, just one of those, holy cow, you know, it's like, boom. And you know, I know virtually everybody knew somebody that was in paradise, you know, and lost everything. Just and then you look at all the mobilization of St. Vincent de Paul, the Knights of Columbus, and Catholic Charities and Social Concerns, and all those groups, and not just Catholic groups, but a lot of great volunteer groups that and professional groups, Catholic Relief Services, you know, those kinds of groups that just they just plunge in.
They do, and stay there for the long
term. Yeah, and I mean, I can't even imagine driving through Paradise and going, where do we start?
Right. And I think St. Vincent de Paul was in Paradise for months, weren't they?
Oh, I think they're still there. They were running a lot of stuff out of Chico.
Mm-hmm.
And just some real heroic stuff, you know. And it's just mind-boggling how much, you know, we all need each other. And, you know, it's right there. It's right there in the Bible, you know. Be prepared.
Right. We don't know the day or the hour.
That's right. You know, and it wasn't specifically talking about the north wind or fires or anything else. But be prepared. You don't know the day or the hour. You know,
right.
When he's talking about, you know, don't put all your stock in the world because it could all end right now.
Right. And so taking that to where we are right now, it kind of going back to what you're saying, when your children were in front of the tree and they were so little, you see the moment, you see what's in front of you. And I would offer that's one of the best things we can do right now is to see what's in front of us,
right,
to not glaze by it. And that would be a benefit of the outages, because we're not distracted by our phones. Driving by junior high school yesterday, how many kids I saw walking, standing, looking at a phone, and just absorbed in it. And
it's interesting because the phones have made a lot of things convenient, et cetera. But at the same time, so much of people being on their phone is just like, it's boredom. It's boredom. It's like, oh, I'll check, see if anybody emailed me. Oh, I'll check and see a ball score. I'll check and see the headlines of the day. You know, it's kind of boredom. You know, I mean, you go, it's 8 a.m. you're walking to school and you're doing, you know, you're.
Yes.
And it's just like, what? I'm now at B Street and 5th, and you're texting that to somebody.
Yes. Yes. You know? And can I offer from a science point of view, being an engineer and being a private math tutor for over 20 years, long term, we're affecting our future employees because how much do kids see about the physical world around them, about God's creation, just from observing? And if they're walking down a windy street staring at a phone, they're missing how trees bend, how leaves actually spin as they fall to the ground. They just don't coast, a lot of them, because of the way they are aerodynamically, and they don't know all these words, but I do after seeing it, you know, going through college, but I saw them as a kid. How the leaves move, how in a pile of leaves the wind will kick it up, right, and density and airflow, and which then moves into how birds fly and they ride the drafts. The leaves are doing the same thing. How much of their interest in the world around them is being replaced by someone else's images? And that's something that we know about human development with the brain, that when the brain doesn't get what it needs, it actually pairs it off. Oh, I don't need this. I don't need to imagine things because I've always got images. And what comes through the phone is always someone else's image, a design, a creation, a picture, so to speak.
You know, it's weird because my wife grew up in Montana and came to California just shortly before we got married. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes it seems like storms and windy days always come in the middle of the night, mm-hmm. you know. And I remember she'd say, this talking about, you know, paying attention to your environment. Mm-hmm. She said, oh, man, it's windy. It's going to pour tomorrow. And I, at 3 a.m. And I'd say, nope, that's a north wind. That's clear. That's not a rainy deal. Because most people associate wind with storm,
right?
You know, and then, you know, another time, she said, oh, it's windy. Does that mean it's going to be clear? I said, no, that's a south wind. It's going to rain. and she'd say, how do you know the difference, mm-hmm. lying here in bed, between a north wind and a south wind? And I don't know.
Oh,
but it's from living mm-hmm. in that environment, there's mm-hmm. just, there's a different sound right. to a north wind and a south wind. It's probably, and you don't realize, probably you hear it when it's further up the street. If it's mm-hmm. powerful, when you're hearing it. And then you hear your own leaves rustle.
Right.
And you're not doing the math, but it's instinctively telling you, oh, that came from the north.
Right, you're mapping
it. It's instinctively, you know, and it's like what you're saying. If I had spent my whole childhood on a phone,
right,
when the north wind was blowing or the south wind was blowing, I wouldn't have known.
No.
And, I mean, that's a minor thing, but think of everything else you're missing.
Right. And it's a minor thing in a way, but then it also, the thread also goes back to, that's how God designed our brains. The Holy Spirit moves within us for interest and what we're interested in, how we're going, and children do. They're either math-oriented or they're language arts-oriented. And rarely, I haven't met one yet, that's both. But it's either left brain, right brain, so to speak. But that's where the interests come in. That's where and your brain at the age that when you were hearing that was mapping it in such a sophisticated way that we have only begun to understand. And you were doing when you're 8, 9, 10 years old. Your brain was like, oh, I'm catching the sounds, that they're different. Mm-hmm. How we know, we only now have figured out, how it is people know then someone's walking up behind them? We didn't hear anything. How did we know? Did we sense it? Is there an EMF? Do we have like a bird's? Are we sensing the change in the magnetic pattern of the earth? No, what we've done is the sound behind us changed, because now we have the science enough to study that we actually know and track how the sounds bounce off the objects around us. And when someone's coming up behind us, it's blocked. Mm-hmm. The sound that is reflected, that's coming back, that has been the sound coming behind our ears, is now changed. Something is blocked part of it out. So we know that there's something back there. But only now in 2019 did we figure that out. Yet we've been noticing that we just knew someone was behind us without even hearing a sound.
Is it 2019?
That's what I've heard.
Wow.
Yeah. And we're less than 60 days to Christmas, too. So that's a whole different subject. Don't scream. mothers everywhere, but we're here to help, and we can make it a peaceful Advent and gloriously by putting God in the middle.
We're with Jane Lee, God's Heart and Hands Ministry. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
This is Yasmin Castellanos from the Catholic School Department, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you for that, and appreciate all you do for the our great Catholic schools here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Jane Lee is with us, God's Heart and Hands Ministry. We're talking about Advent coming up. Thanksgiving being so late.
My favorite.
I guess it's a secular holiday, although what are we thanking? We're thanking God. So I could call it a religious holiday. It's always great to go to Mass on Thanksgiving morning.
It is, isn't it? It sets the tone for the whole day.
Run the Feed the Hungry on Thanksgiving morning. Those are, you know, a great thing. But Thanksgiving has just always been my favorite day.
Actually, it's mine too.
Yeah, I love it.
I do too. You're celebrating. You're enjoying. You're not caught up and spun by 3, 4, 6 weeks really of preparation. It's just it's a meal. And yes, it's an incredible amount of work, and you have people
and
come over.
I love, believe it or not, I love the 4th of July. I think I could listen to John Philip Sousa all day long.
Uh-huh.
I like the marching music.
Yes, you know. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So,
and what would it be like if we had a power outage on Thanksgiving? Well, it's kind of going back to the 1950s or 60s.
Man.
What a shock. We wouldn't be able to watch football. That would take a lot to adapt to. But how actually wonderful it would be just to not have the noise and to be with people, you know, and to enjoy that. Just a thought. I mean, and that's something about being prepared and thinking ahead. And Advent is about preparation, right?
Yep.
Preparing for the Lord coming. And so while there's so much to distract us, looking for the daisy in the manure pile, that there's so much change, so much difficulty, where's the daisy? And with all this going on with the fires and with the economic difficulties and with the middle class economic struggles and everything on every avenue, it seems like, as we turn, it shifts us and it turns us back to God.
Well, you note that here we are in California, the Golden State. 1/4 of adults are food insecure. 1/5 of children are food insecure. I know these are true. We talked to the Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services. They keep track of that stuff. We talked to Loaves and Fishes. They keep track of that stuff. 21% poverty rate, highest in the U.S.
Our Golden State.
Golden State.
We have highest poverty rate.
You know, they say, what do we have, the 5th or 6th largest economy in the world? If we were a country, we'd be in the G7, you know? I mean, it's just, it's amazing.
Yes, that's true. And so as parents, this is an opportune moment for us to readjust and reevaluate, actually, and discuss with our families and reevaluate. We are on a treadmill, so to speak, and it's kind of gotten faster and faster. How quickly the year has gone with busyness. How busy families are, and just scheduling math tutoring sessions. I have to wiggle around so much with sports and lessons and time and everything else that a family is committed to, and it just seems to be growing. And they're stepping back. When we're forced to step back, it's not comfortable. But when we do, it's like what you said when the power was out with your children. Wow, this is something new. And I remember one of the football strikes, and this is back in, I think, the 80s, big NFL football strike. I remember seeing a cartoon panel of a husband and wife taking a walk on a Sunday afternoon in fall and saying, wow, this is kind of nice getting this back again.
Yeah.
And we don't realize it. So I would offer that possibly we can look at it through the eyes of what the Lord might be doing or what the Lord can do with this. Because I don't want to step into what the Lord is doing or not, or how does he let bad things happen. That's not it. But when we give it to him, right, we know from Scripture, we give anything to him, he will bring good out of it.
Right.
And as we go through these challenges, I've already had the discussion with my family. Wow, I don't have to look even a bit till I see someone that's lost their home or has been economically affected. They weren't able to work for so many weeks or so on. Even if they could maintain their job when their house was burned down, they still have tremendous needs. We know that from the Santa Rosa fires and so on, every other, that they're still rebuilding. I think we even go back to Hurricane Katrina, which was kind of the big one that started it.
Yeah, there's still recovery going on from that.
Right. So there's always someone that needs, and this is not an optional thing. It's like, how can I do this? And I think that I was really struck by Luke 16:19, the story about Lazarus and the king, where the king is stepping over Lazarus, who is at his door and is just asking for anything to eat. And then after the king dies and Abraham says to him, my child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. We are so responsible for what we receive and what we have. Just across the street, the last, I think Sunday, as a matter of fact, it was, with the high winds, tree split and landed on a car that was parked right in front of it. And it wasn't their car. It was someone else's car. And all you could see was the driver window. Yeah. The car was completely covered by it.
We had one of those in our town that was on the front page of the paper. And it was... You frequently see a tree fall, you know, and it's denser. It looked like the cars you see at a wrecking yard that have all been crushed and stacked on top of each other. It was, I mean, fortunately there was nobody in it, you know, or they would still be in it. I mean, it was just flattened.
Wow.
These trees are, some of them are so big.
They are.
And are so heavy.
But and we don't know when we look at them that they're going to split. Yeah. You know, I've heard people talk about, well, if you take care of your trees, you think, can't tell. You honestly can't tell with some of them. So immediately, I drove by just after it happened, there's all the neighbors there. Immediately, and chainsaw and everything else, getting it all taken care of. And then I was keeping an eye on it. Okay, there's nothing I can do. But I was kind of hanging around outside trying to keep an eye on it. And it was the older couple that were then sweeping up all the branches and the small bits. And it's just the two of them. Everybody had dispersed. So I've learned that, and I learned this from someone else, talking about the village effect or how it takes a village. Rather than saying, hey, can I do anything, which people just don't know what to say, I dragged my green waste trash can across the street rather noisily and hadn't met these people yet and said, do you need an extra green waste trash can? That's what I can offer. That's what I can do. And they were, their faces just completely shifted from the burden and the shock to, wow. And so I extended the hand, like, I can do this, rather than just being verbal, here, what can I do? And I think we're really called to do that and to see that in each other. And so that's what I get out of the story of Lazarus and the king, is he wasn't seeing it. He did see it. He did see the poor man that didn't have food and didn't have anything that he needed. And he stepped over him every day.
Right.
But It's how we respond when it's there. So there's so much in front of us right now. How do we respond? That's what we're called to do, where God really is looking for us to be his hearts and hands, not just moms, but I think for each other. And we need to, and like you do, you see your kids at the different ages. You see, you notice what's in front of you. And that's what one of the things I think God is calling us to do. Look at what's in front of you. Get out from behind that screen.
Yeah.
That shopping, that entertainment, all of it. And just look what's right in front of you.
Well, and the reason we can talk about it is because we're guilty of it too, you know. And it's hard.
We are. It is.
You know, it's hard because, you know, people say to me, I texted you. Didn't you get my text? And I go, I wasn't, you know, I need the phone to ring. You know, you know.
Uh-huh.
And no, I didn't see. Oh, I see it now. You know, it's
right.
Too late to respond to it because you're not at the grocery store anymore, or you're not, you know, whatever it was they wanted, you know, mm-hmm. or wanted to let you know, you know. The road's closed.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
You know, and but people text because they know that other people are going to be constantly checking them.
Teenagers, middle of the night, right?
Yeah.
Right. Right. I do know someone that is quite dependent upon for her job with technology, and she turns her phone off at 6 p.m.
Mm.
Family time.
Wow.
Job can wait. Anything can wait. So, and it's an interesting boundary. I've learned a lot from it. Just like, just that recognition that the world has my attention for a certain part, but my family deserves my attention. Absolutely. The other part.
Yeah. And you know, we were talking to Father Memo yesterday about vocations and families eating dinner together. And I told him about Father Cardinal Dolan. One time I had a chance to talk to him, and he said the same thing, you know, our family ate together. And I know when I was growing up, our family ate together. Every night. I mean, it just...
Right, we did too.
We just never didn't eat together.
Right.
And yet, now it's, you can say it's nearly impossible. I mean, we do it enough, mm-hmm. and we really try to do it. But even with, especially the teenage years,
mm-hmm.
and it's not that we have too many activities. We have, it'd be great if all four kids were in choir.
Mm,
and we know on Tuesdays at 7, they're all going to go have choir. Okay, we're going to have dinner together at
right.
5, or we're going to have dinner together at 8:30 after choir. But no, there's a choir here, and one of them has a babysitting job over here, and one of them has a ball game or
right.
you know, soccer practice or baseball practice or something. And it just... You either say no to all the activities,
right,
or you're not eating together. You know, it's
right.
It's
you don't.
It's
you
hard.
Don't
and,
get to.
And you know, you can. You know, you can do a lot of things other than eating together. I mean, and I feel like we're a very close knit family,
mm-hmm.
and we're always, you know, interested in each other's lives and et cetera. But there really is nothing like sitting around the table with no kind of a deadline,
mm-hmm.
And just, you know, everybody's talking about their day, and
yeah.
everybody's, you know, just sharing their anxieties, their concerns, their the joys they had.
Right.
Something cool happened, or I met a new person, or
yeah.
or whatever. I got a phone call. I've got a job interview tomorrow. You know, that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know,
staying connected.
Yeah,
staying connected in each other's lives.
Connected and. It's great for the parents to know what's going on in their kids' lives, but it's just this good sense of family, a good sense of community. And it seems like around a dinner table, there's something about food is the universal uniter, you know.
The Last Supper, we share food.
You're not,
right?
Everybody's pretty happy,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And so along those lines, trying to find the way to make that all work, when someone got home late that had missed dinner, I would actually call the family together to all sit, even though that one person's eating and it's 9 o'clock at night. we can still all be there with them, because I viewed it that that child also missed out on the family connection.
Right.
And they need that, especially through the teenage years. It's critical that they have that family connection to be maintained. And so by getting everybody back together, you know, when dad got home late from work, you know, the kids were close to being in bed. So they got up and they came and sat and we all were together again. So keeping the family in the center, God will always help us find a way so that the world can't split us. Or if it doesn't work out that day, you know, because dad was in software development and there was an all-nighter where he didn't come home till the next morning when they're testing software. Then the next night was even more special because we made it that was rare. This is really important tonight. And so then it was talked about. It was understood. So that I really saw my role or understood my role as God's heart and hands is one of the things is bringing them back together, recognizing when things get pulled loose, so to speak, and when it was time to reweave and bring it back. And that's one of the biggest things. As mothers, we keep the home fires burning. And it's an old saying, and actually a friend was just saying it to me yesterday, and their kids are long grown and out of the house, that she and her husband, like she was the one that was now more in a more relaxed job and his was requiring more travel. And she said it was such a difference when only one of them was going through an intense time with their job, because when they both were, no one was there to pick up the slack or provide the extra cushion to take care of the things that just have to happen in a house. And so the mothers or the fathers, but a parent when there's someone doing it, and that's something as we move through life and we make changes, which house to buy, which car and so on, begin with how is our family going to run? How is it going to, do we have to have the second income, a full-time income? This is not a new question.
Right.
Generations have faced this problem, and people had one car. And mom took dad to work in the morning. And this was just what you did. And you've talked about your childhood, the same thing. It's not wrong. It's not bad. It's just something we have to adapt to because the family is in the center.
Yeah.
And when we keep if you call it, what is it, Luke 16:13, no servant can serve two masters.
Right.
Well, I would offer possibly to kind of keep that in our minds moving into Advent. Which master are we serving? Are we serving everything else on the outside for Christmas? Or are we serving Christmas as what we do in this country? Or are we serving Advent? Where is our first part? And then that clarity of been noticing, wow, I'm getting pulled away. I'm noticing that, you know, and living on cash is a great thing, because then you're like, well, I can't buy that expensive toy because I'm not going to borrow from my future earnings to pay for that toy that by the end of the next calendar year, we'll be in the thrift shop.
Well, see, it is back to instant gratification is what leads. Sometimes credit card debt is impossible to avoid.
Right.
Because of various situations.
Emergencies.
Frequently it's that instant gratification.
Yes.
I need that. I need it now. I'll put it on a credit card.
Right.
It's painless. You're not having to take 20, 40, 60 out of your pocket. Oh, that's real money.
Yes.
Do I really want to do that? Oh,
yes.
I'll just give them this piece of plastic. It's painless.
Well, the philosophy of Las Vegas, that's why you use chips in the casinos.
Sure.
Learned it decades ago, is to get you away from the feel of money. Ouch. Afterwards. But in that moment. And so plastic, you know, is doing the same thing. It's getting us away from that feel. But when you put down those pieces of paper, oh my gosh, you don't want to let go sometimes. It's the real experience. So let's keep it real. So moms is moving into Advent. Families is moving into Advent. Dads, grandparents, it's keeping the focus. And yes, there are people that want you to spend your money. That's what they do. That's okay. But what is it we're going to take forward? What is it that the Lord wants us, and which master does he want us to serve? And it's not, how would you say it, simple piety. You know, it's not like, well, just do this. No, it's really take a look at what's in front of you, because we cast our own vote in life, and we're the only ones there when we're at the end of our lives, right? And so we have to stand with our own decisions. Oh, well, yeah, well, I really wanted to do that. But yes, I saw that they were hungry. But, you know, I really wanted it.
Yeah.
Okay, if you're okay thinking, going with that, just be aware, you know, and your children will follow suit. And so that's with in moving forward. And with Romans 12:11, do not grow slack in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. So we don't have to fix everything. We don't have to ache for the world. We don't have to do all these magical things. But through it all, serve the Lord. And if we put him in the center and weigh everything against it, okay, we're not going to have family dinner for a span of time. It's going to be a different thing we have to figure. But the kids are going to grow by these experiences, by choir practice and by babysitting and having this job and so on, or helping the neighbor with the lawn. So our dinner time has to shift. Are we serving the Lord? Is every activity eventually?
I think if you ask yourself before every kind of major or minor decision, what would God, you know, it's the old, what would Jesus do? How could I best serve the Lord here? Frequently, the answer is pretty obvious. And if it's not, like maybe there's a problem or somebody's having a problem and you need to approach them about it, you know, and it's going to be, man, I don't want to do that. You want to go talk to the neighbors about their dog? I don't want to.
No.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And you say, God, I honestly cannot figure this out.
Right.
I don't even have a leaning what's the best way to handle this, but I know it has to be handled. So however you want it handled, make it happen. You know, I'm giving it all to you.
And then what happens? And then he does.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Right.
I tell my wife to take care of it.
Well, I'm going to hope that God directed you and gave her the talent so she's okay with you. Then.
She has the talent that I don't.
There you go. God took care of it.
Much more diplomatic than I am. Shane, always a pleasure.
Oh, it was great to be here.
Thank you. Give the
website. Actually, the website, it's godsheartandhands.org, but it's under major reconstruction. So it's just through Instagram.
Powers out.
Powers out. Powers out. So on Instagram, it's pro-life hearts because the Lord is also guiding us into pro-life work. Pro-life hearts.
This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
Hi, I'm John McGinnis, retired sheriff of Sacramento County, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
I was have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away.